Hey guys, welcome to Crime Spotlight with Jasmine,
Nikita,
and Ayan.
And on our second episode, we'll be talking about the 44 days of hell that Junko Furuta endured. Ayan, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, so Junko Furuta's story is truly tragic and gruesome. I won't go too much into the detail of what she suffered exactly, but I will say some of it.
Oh, we need to put a trigger warning, first of all, because some of the details in this case are actually awful.
They're very horrific, yeah.
But trigger warning for sexual assault and any violence.
Yeah. Okay, so Junko was a 16-year-old girl attending high school in Misato, Japan. She was extremely smart, very attractive, and well-mannered girl. She was well-liked by everybody. She didn't smoke, she didn't drink, and she did no drugs, which earned her a lot of attention, namely attention from Hiroshi Miyano. Hiroshi was part of the new generation of Yakuza, so he was feared and popular. Everybody knew him. Hiroshi took an interest in her, but when she rejected his many romantic advances, he became very vicious towards her. I think he expected her to say yes because he was so popular.
Yeah.
So one day, on November 25th, 1988, when Junko was cycling home, Miyano and his friend Minato found her. Hiroshi Miyano created a diversion by kicking her off her bike, whilst his friend Minato approached her as a good Samaritan and offered to walk her home. She actually never made it home. Instead, they took her to Minato's house, forced her to call her parents, and convinced them that she'd run away and that not to look for her.
Oh my god.
And kept her captive for the next 44 days. So at this point, she's terrified because she knows that if she tries anything, they will kill her parents, which is exactly what they told her. So she was being obedient and basically letting them do what they want. While they held her captive, she was controlled by four boys, Miyano being the ringleader, his friends Minato, Joe Ogura, and Watanabe Asishu. These were the four boys that basically kidnapped, tortured, and murdered her, essentially, in the end. Whilst Miyano was only 18 years old, the rest were between the ages of 17 and the youngest being 15 at the time. So they're extremely young, but also extremely violent and vicious. Like, we wouldn't expect that from 16, 15-year-old boys.
Definitely not.
Yeah, so during the 44 days that she was held captive, she suffered unspeakable brutality. I'll just skim over some of the stuff that she went through, because while I was reading this, it just left you with such a shocking feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I had a quick look at the page as well, and that was honestly some of the worst things I've ever seen.
It was. So she was kept naked most of the time and forced to sleep in the freezing cold balcony. She was physically beaten with golf clubs and dumbbells, you know, those gym dumbbells, and sticks. She was burnt with hot wax, cigarettes, and fireworks, and she was sexually assaulted. I think it was estimated that around 500 men were involved, and these men were mostly Yakuza members, because Miyano would boast that he was basically selling sex slaves.
500?
Oh my god. Yeah, it was estimated around 500.
So other people knew about this, not just the boys?
Well, these men were mostly Yakuza members, so they knew, but also so did the surrounding neighbours. And
no one tried to help?
No one tried to help, no, even Minato's parents, because yes, he was doing this in their house, knew. At first he tried to tell his parents that this was his girlfriend, but once it became evident that she was actually being captive, they did nothing because they feared their son's violent tendencies, but they also were afraid of his connections to the Yakuza.
Oh my god.
His brother also knew, but his brother also made no efforts to save her.
I mean, if the parents aren't going to try, I'm not surprised the brother isn't going to try.
No, he did not. He did nothing. In fact, he just told them to be careful because she looked like she was dying.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so they starved her, forced her to eat bogs. They used her as a punching bag as she hung from the ceiling. They kept her in a freezer for several hours. The damage that she suffered was so severe that she could not breathe through her nose. She could not eat or urinate or walk. I mean, it was so bad that her brain was reduced in size. That's how insane she suffered was.
How did it reduce in size?
I have no idea.
How is that possible? Oh my god.
I think it's because she suffered so many blunt traumas to her head and just the rest of her body.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I'm surprised, like, she just was able to endure that for 40 days.
This is half of what I'm telling you. Like, she's endured more insane stuff than this.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry to interrupt.
At this point, she's begging for death, basically.
Yeah.
But they sadistically kept refusing her. On January the 4th, 1989, they challenged her to a game of solitaire, which she won because she was incredibly smart. And in anger, they beat her with dumbbells and they set her legs on fire.
Because of solitaire?
Because she won, yeah. Like, how dare she win?
What's wrong with people? Oh my... Okay, sorry.
Sickening. And then, you know, because her body was already so severely damaged, she died instantly from the shock. So they stuffed her body in a gallon drum filled with concrete, I think in a local park.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody bothered looking for her. And then 2 weeks passed. 2 weeks later, Miyano and Oguro were arrested on separate charges of rape. And they thought this was the Junko Furuta case, so they unknowingly admitted that they had nothing to do with her death, to which the police were like, what death? And then they basically it led to the discovery of her body.
So truly, if he hadn't said anything, people would just think that she would have run away, or her family would have
I don't think she would have been found, but I think where they hid her body was so like bad that she would have been found automatically anyways. But so when the case started, officials kept their identity hidden as they were mostly all underage, but a journalist dug it up and exposed them because he said that they deserved no human rights, that they forfeited their human rights after what they put that child through. They were all trialed, but none of them actually received higher sentences. Only Miyano received 20 years, but in the beginning he only had 17 years, but when he appealed, the judge bumped it up to 20 years. And the rest, Minato, Ogura, and the Watanabe Yasushi received 5 to 7 years in juvie, and they were all basically out mid-30s, to be honest.
I don't get how, because they're accomplices. I don't understand how they can be seen as accomplices, but then they're doing just as much as harm as the main guy is, but they get less time.
They weren't actually arrested for murder. They were arrested for grievous bodily harm that resulted in death.
They weren't arrested for murder?
No, I don't think so. Not in the beginning. At least that's the claim that they argued with. Mm-hmm. But the reason why they received such little sentences is that the Japanese juvenile court system is largely based geared towards rehabilitation of criminals rather than handing out harsh sentences. So they restrict sentences on juvie and keep them low. And since most of them went to juvie, that's why they only served between 5 to 7 years.
Did it make any difference in their like legal system though with juvie or with juveniles?
I think still now, even now, that juvie, their system is pretty much the same.
Oh.
But for when your child is an adult and you commit several murders,
yeah,
the death penalty is still legal in Japan.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But this only works, it's only applied in practice for murder, but several murders, so I don't think it works if you kill like one person.
Yeah. That sounds...
And they also do it by hanging, which I found quite crazy. Like, isn't hanging considered like an inhumane way of killing somebody?
Well, I mean, we banned hanging in the UK like in, oh god, how many years ago? Like 50 years ago now?
Probably like medieval times.
No, I watched a movie where it was like, it was a movie about the last man that was killed in the UK because of hanging, or like how they killed him through hanging. Which is quite interesting. But yeah, they only got how many years again, sorry?
5 to 7 years, and Miano served 20 years.
And is he still alive?
They're all alive, and none of them show any remorse for what they've done. In fact, Miano is living a very luxurious life. He's a regular at the gym. He drives BMWs and actively boasts about his role in the murder and torture of Junko.
That's infuriating.
That is, I know. Oh my God. It's made me think, you know, somebody should kill them, honestly.
How is
Minato was able to get married and have a daughter, but she subsequently divorced him and took custody of the child. And Ogura has constant run-ins with the law. He squandered his father's savings that were meant for Junko's parents. And I think his mother, this part shocked me the most, his mother vandalized Junko's grave, claiming that she ruined his son's life.
She vandalized her grave.
Yeah.
Oh my God, mothers of sons are just something else.
Yeah, they're so spiteful. It's like he's done enough to her.
Exactly. The only person that didn't reoffend, I think there's little known of him. I don't even think that he's out there anymore, really, is Yasushu. I think that's how you say his name. Yeah, he's the only one that's never had run-ins with the law, but the rest, they constantly have run-ins with the law. Minato was recently, not recently, I think a couple of years ago, arrested for attempted murder of a man that he beat and then attempted to slit his throat.
Oh my God. I mean, are they still, I'm guessing, like, from what I'm hearing, they might still be, like, linked to the Yakuza, and maybe that's why they keep having repeated run-ins.
I'm not sure about the others, but Minato is protected by the juvie law, according to an article that I read. So I think his identity is sort of kept hidden, and Miano, he doesn't really attempt to keep his identity hidden, even though he changed his name, but he might well be protected by the Yakuza. And he has money, I'm not sure
so
where he gets that from.
So what did her family say in the news as well then?
Well, her family obviously advocated for proper justice, but
yeah,
clearly they never got it really.
I mean, yeah, like, she died and they're still out there, like, living normal lives. That's what's most annoying to me, I think.
The one thing that really gets me is that the rest of the people that were involved in this received no, like...
punishment.
No punishment for it. Like, for example, Minato's brother was arrested, but I'm not sure if he was sentenced. And what about all the other men that constantly kept filtering out of that house? Like, what happened to them? Why were they not found and arrested? They knew that they were involved in this.
Exactly.
Why were Minato's parents not arrested? I mean...
yeah, his parents as well. Surely his parents would be, like, an accessory.
They should have been, because this happened in their residence and they did nothing. And the police came a total of twice to that house, but they failed to properly investigate. They took his word for it and left.
So what happened to the first time? What happened there?
So the first time, one of the visitors left the house, one of the visitors that was invited to the house, and he told his brother about how Miano was keeping a girl locked up in his house. And the boy was so shocked that he called the police, and the police came. Two police officers came to the residence, but after they were told that there's no girl here, they left. They did not do a proper investigation. They didn't go into the house, even though they knew that Junko was missing. And then the second time, Junko tried to call the police herself, but she couldn't speak before she could say anything.
Oh, she called the police
and
herself.
They discovered her. Yeah, she called the police herself. They discovered her before she could say anything. And the police hung up and they never came to investigate, and she got a beating for it, for trying to escape.
Wow. Her case would have literally been, like, unknown as well if they hadn't said anything.
If they hadn't, yeah, that's the part that gets me, is the fact that I think even, like, the neighbours and, like, school kids and everybody, they knew what was going on, but nobody made an effort.
Yeah, no one wanted to stand up.
I remember reading an article about it, and they said over, like, 100 people knew where she was exactly. Nobody wanted to stand up because they knew that, you know, with Miano being allegedly tied to the Yakuza.
100 people. Not one person said anything.
Well, everybody knew, because it's not like he kept it hidden. He never... He was very, like, boastful in his connections to the Yakuza. And everyone knew of his interest in her. And...
I mean, he's basically keeping, like, a woman as a sex slave.
Yeah. But the part that I can't wrap my head around is that they were so young.
Yeah, she's like, how old was she again, sorry?
She was 16
years
old.
That's so sad.
But these boys were between 16 and... I mean, Minato was 15 years old and his parents were scared of him.
How are your parents scared of you at 15? That's ridiculous.
At 15, I would have clapped you over the head.
I would have put them in your place.
Literally. Honestly, I don't get how these parents don't kill their sons themselves. Like, okay. If, no, I'm
maybe,
so...
Maybe
no, this whole time, I'm just like... If my son did that, I would kill him. Myself. I'm not waiting for the law or anything. I will kill him.
But I mean...
Like, I did not raise you
But I mean, like... He's with the Yakuza, so even if you do kill him anyway...
But I thought that they didn't have to directly go and speak to the police themselves. They could have notified somebody else that was out of the reach of their son.
Yeah, because if they think 100 people know, like, no one's going to be... Like, are they really going to trace it back to you out of 100 people who told the police?
Exactly. So if they had notified somebody else, that person could then have gone to the police.
Exactly. And so many people know how they meant to know who said it, who's...
So many people knew. I think they even invited people from school. One girl came to doodle on her face.
You're lying.
I'm not kidding. I'm honestly, I was so shocked. She came and they invited this girl over, this young girl. She came to just draw on her face and left.
What the hell is wrong with people?
So I think it's... I just feel like they were so probably desensitized to what they were doing. They didn't look at her as another human being.
Yeah, they definitely...
Something is missing in these children, though, honestly.
But I mean, it makes you think, because so many people came and did stuff, like, is it just these people, or is it, like, everyone?
Exactly. How can you trust everybody in that town, then, after what happened?
The parents must have been...
I just...
Oh, so...
Sorry.
I just said...
But the torturing was mostly done by the four boys. I think there's only the sexual assault. Like, mm-hmm. People would come in just to... rape her essentially and then leave.
I just want to talk about reform and punishment as well, because a lot of, like, these days you have people obviously thinking against like the death penalty, yeah. And stuff, and saying we don't have the right, you're going against God or whatever, no one has a right to like punish someone to death or kill them and stuff. But like, when something like this happens, what is society and what is the law supposed to do? We're supposed to like protect everyone else.
Yeah,
I don't, for a crime like this, it's crazy that they were ever released.
I mean, for me, I feel like reform can happen, but when something like this happens, it's kind of like when people see justice as like an eye for an eye, I guess. And when someone goes to prison for, say, like a life sentence, is it really fair? Because say if they killed someone. But I do kind of see. I see life sentence as fair, because obviously if you took someone's life away, then I don't think you should have your life. It's not really fair. So to see this is really upsetting.
Well, I think that they definitely should have received the capital punishment.
I'm surprised the main guy didn't, because he was 18. Or is...
I think when he committed the crime, he was... underage.
Oh no,
I think it's all to do with connections as well. Like, there's no way, if it was like just a normal kid who did this with like no connection to the Yakuza or like any powerful people, there's no way he would have like gotten away with just like a couple of years or something.
Well, his parents weren't like some kind of rich, well-known people. Like, they weren't the town's mayor or something, so mm-hmm. I don't think that's what got him the life sentencing. But had this happened now, I feel like it would have been a different type of reaction.
Well, what happened to that guy? The guy that was connected to, like, the... He was killing people that were suicidal in Japan.
I'm not sure. I know that.
Oh, I can't remember his name, but if you just if you Google Japan suicide killer, basically it was this guy in Japan, and he was messaging, he basically made a really weird Twitter account where he would message people that were suicidal, and then he would like invite them over and then he'd strangle them.
I think so.
It happened recently. I think I saw that in the news, like in the last year.
The Twitter
channel. Yeah, that one. And yeah, and the person that found him was actually of one of his victims' siblings, I think. So they made like a fake Twitter account to try and catch him, and then they eventually did catch him, and then they reported him to the police.
So he was killing people that were okay with that.
Well, not okay, but they were, like, I think depressed and suicidal, but still, like, you can't just be killing people.
It says here that he was sentenced to death.
Was he?
But he'll most likely be waiting on the death line for, like...
Oh, yeah, probably. Years. That's what they're doing more now, I think, that they're, like, making them wait ages for their death penalty, but they just die waiting anyway.
You know what would be interesting if they tell them... They never tell.
They
them
don't.
Like, they just wake up every day and they can think it could be today.
That no, they don't. Cool. They never tell them the date. They literally tell them like sometimes it can happen like 2 days in advance where they're like, "This is your date in 2 days," or it can be like, "You your date is coming crazy. Up in 2 weeks."
But that's also good. It's well deserved, to be honest. Like, honestly, I'm iffy about the whole capital punishment. But at the same time, when you read stuff like this, you think. There is no way these people are going to gain anything out of just being in prison.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel like maybe with capital punishment, it's not like sending the right message. But then with things this horrendous, it's like, what can you do with someone?
Are these people even afraid of death? Let's be honest. I don't think they are.
It doesn't seem like so.
Oh, he kept human remains.
Oh, yeah, he kept them in his kitchen or fridge or whatever.
Do you guys know about a Japanese cannibalist? He used to invite people to his house.
Oh, yeah, he killed that woman from Europe, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I think Vice did an interview with him.
Sorry, exactly.
Yeah.
Did he? I think he would only kill willing people that wanted to be eaten. Like, he would invite them over, they'd have dinner, and then basically he'd kill them and then eat them. Yeah, it was back in 1949.
In 1949?
Oh no, this must have been a different one.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that in Japan, I can see why, like, they would keep their juvie or juveniles, like, more focused on reform, because I guess it's good to get them when they're young. But then what Nikita said.
But it depends on what kind of crimes they've committed and you're trying to reform them from. I mean, something like this is very, very serious. I'm not sure you can reform anybody.
I mean, exactly.
Like, inflicting this level of pain exactly. This is torture. But if they'd like robbed a store or something, I could understand.
I mean, even if it was like a murder by accident, like a manslaughter, yeah. Or like, I don't know, it was a robbery gone wrong, I would understand reform for that person. But this is like torture, like they planned it
and they kept doing it for,
and they're clearly not showing any remorse. Wow, that's actually terrible.
I'm reading a headline. Cannibal Issei Sagawa is walking free and plans to eat.
Oh my god. He plans. Right, well, thank you guys for listening. That was Ayan's story of Junko Furuta. And I hope you listen to the next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.